Amen. Amen. What a great song. I like the part that he knew me, and yet he still loved me. So I know some people, when they get to know you, they don't really like you anymore. But Jesus, God knew us, and God loved us, and God sent his son down the cross to die for us. And no one else could do that, only him. So I want to encourage you, like we heard that theme song for our friend day, there's no other friend like Jesus, because as we've been learning about on Sunday mornings, he can do all things, you can trust him. Like we learned about last week, we talked about how he's unlike anyone else. And that's what he was when he was on that cross. He was doing it for us. And no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Psalms 119, but you probably already knew that. Psalms 119, we're going through a study on the longest chapter of the Bible, and we're taking 8 verses at a time. At least that's the goal, the plan, but tonight we only might make it through the first 2 verses. There's some thoughts I have there. I think we're going to read all 8 verses, but it's portioned off in 8 verse segments. And the title of tonight's message is, Teach Me, O Lord. Teach Me, O Lord. And we're in Psalms 119. It's verses 33 through 40 tonight. And it's an important thought here. Do I have a teachable spirit? Is it something, am I willing to learn? Am I willing to grasp? I've seen some people be so hard-hearted about certain things that even if an angel came from heaven, Jesus Christ himself turned and said something, or if God spoke. And in all reality, God did speak when he spoke through his word and says certain things, and they just won't believe it. They just said, nope, that's not true. It can't be right. And those are people that don't have a teachable spirit. And I think we should always be learning. I think we can always be growing and always learn. And we have never arrived, and that God speaks our heart, and we can always learn. We can always become more like him. When we stop learning is when we start becoming stupid. And he's like, what do you mean? He says, well, if you don't think you have anything else to learn, then you're going to start being foolish, because the only things you're going to hold on to is those things that you know. And God can always teach you something different. So let's jump in here. I think we're going to do a little bit different this week because I want to focus on the first 2 verses, but we're going to read all the verses, there's 8 verses, Psalms 119, verses 33 through 40. The Bible says, Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. So he's asking God, Lord, there are some things I don't know. And I think that's something that's really important to understand. There are some things in this world I just don't know, Lord. And I don't want to learn from all these other people. I want you to teach me, O Lord. And what is he asking for? Is he teaching for wealth? You know, show me how to do this. You know, he says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. And then he makes a promise. I'm going to keep them. Verse 34, he says, I'm going to keep it unto the end. Verse 34, give me understanding. And there's that word again. We spent a long time on it a few weeks ago, and that's what we got to really understand. What is God do? Say what he does. I mean, why is God telling us certain things? Why is there certain guidelines? Why is there certain laws? Why is there certain things we're supposed to do or have to do or not supposed to do? We need to try to figure out the heart of God. Once we can understand the will of God, boy, that will open up so much for us. And I know that we are many times, we have things that are stuck in our mind, in our head, and the psalmist is saying here, give me understanding. He said, I don't want to just know the law, I want to understand the law. And like he said in the last section, he talks about if you would teach him, he says in verse 27, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. And we're going to come back to that, so I don't want to spend a lot of time right now on this. And he says, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. There's a promise, I'm going to keep your law. He's told that before, I'm going to keep it, but if there's understanding, it's easier to keep it. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Meaning that if once I understand it, God, I trust you, I want you to teach me, it's not going to be divided anymore. I'm not going to be torn one way or another. If you show me why and help me understand why, it's all there. Then he said, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. And so he's saying here, he says, keep me on the right path. I want to go in the path of thy commandments. These are the things I delight in. as we talked about in the beginning of the chapter, he observed some things in verse number one. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart. These are the people that are happy. These are the people that are blessed. David's already sold. The Bible's right. The Bible's true. And God, I want you to teach me those things. And I think most of us would agree with that. Most of us say, okay, yeah, I get it. God's word is right. God's word is true. I'm going to do what's right and what's best. But he's saying, Lord, I want you to make me to go this way. My flesh, or as it talked about in verse 25, it says, my soul cleaveth. It's always going towards the world. It's always wanting the things of the world. But Lord, will you please keep me on the right path? I delight in your works. I delight in your law. But please, I need to stay in this right path because sometimes I stray. Then he uses the words in verse 36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. The same type of thing he's saying, my soul cleaveth to dust of the things of the world. My heart really desires things that I really don't need. My heart desires things that I'm not supposed to have. And one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not covet. And it begins describing some different things that people are coveting after. And it is something that is, it's a challenge because we see so many things out there. And one of the things I like about modern day and I don't watch lots of TV, but modern day TVs, you record things ahead of time and you can fast forward through the commercials. Because those commercials tell us all about things that we never really knew we needed. You have to have this and you got to have this. And it just makes it want to, it's nice to be able to watch something and just be able to fast forward through whatever show it is that you're watching. So you don't have to sit there and have somebody tell you, you need this or you need that. You don't need to watch commercials anyway. They'll call you on your phone and tell you about your extended car warranty. They'll call you and tell you, hey, did you know you needed this? No, I didn't. Thanks. But he if you will incline my heart. He says, I want it to be leaning in. I want to, on purpose, keep thy testimonies. He says, I want my heart to be leaning toward these things because right now it's a struggle. My heart's coveting. My heart sees that new car, that new house, that new husband, that new wife, that new friendship, the things that I'm not really, God is not in your will, that really isn't what you desire for me, but I see things and I want them. And that's what happens with our eyes. When we see things, we desire certain things and be like, boy, I wonder what it would be like to have this or have that. And the Bible says we shouldn't covet. And look how what covetousness leads to. Look what it says in verse 37. He says, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity and quicken thou me in thy way. He's saying, look, when I covet things, I begin to behold vanity. When I start coveting those things that you have not intended for me, what is not your will for my life, and when I begin to look for those things and I got to have those things and my desires start wanting those things, he says, you know what happens? My life becomes vain. I stop wondering about what your desire for me is, what you want for me, but instead that thing that I'm coveting becomes an idol in my life. And as it becomes an idol in my life, I begin, that's what I'm thinking about, that's what I want. And I've taken my eyes off the prize, I've taken my eyes off what the Lord wanted me to have and what he desires for me, and I coveted something outside of his will. It's going to mean that I am going to be vain. It's going to be worthless. And that's what he's saying here. He says, beholding vanity. Those are the things I'm looking at. I was trying to remember a quote I read the other day. It talks about the things that your mind go to when you're idle, I-D-L-E, is probably what your idol is, I-D-O-L. Those things that you take and you put and your mind goes to when you want to retreat from everything else, when you don't want to behold, incline your heart to his commandments, when you're willing to look and covet after certain things, that when your mind gets kind of strays, you become idle and gets, the things you start thinking about are usually the things that mean the most to you. It becomes idols in your life. Now you say, well, that person is Jesus, then it's not an idol. He is the one that you're supposed to be thinking on. He is the one that we're supposed to meditate day and night. But the thing that we think most about sometimes is sports sometimes, or family, or not that they're bad things, but they shouldn't occupy the wrong thing. And that's what he's saying, turn away mine eyes from vanity. And then he says, quicken thou me in thy way. It's the idea of quicken that we looked at last time in verse 25, quicken thou me according to thy word. It means to make alive, to make anew, to make fresh. He says, this is what I want. I don't want the vanity. I don't want to spend my life wasting and coveting things that I'm probably never going to have, number one. And if I do get them, I'm going to probably go in debt to get them, or I'm going to regret getting them. And then number two is not only that, it's going to be worthless. It's going to be vain. He says, I'm tired of that life. I'm tired of doing what I want. Instead, now I want you to quicken me in thy way. He says, I want to be made alive to your way. Quicken me. He says, make it fresh and make it new. Then he says, establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. He says, not only do I want you to quicken me and make me alive, he says, then I want you to establish it. I want to cement it in. And he says, I'm devoted to you. I want to fear you, but my heart, it covets. And when it covets, I begin to behold vanity. And when I begin to hold vanity, then life has gone to be worthless. I'm not doing what God wants me to do. He says, concrete it into me, establish it into me. And then he says, turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. He said, I don't want to be a reproach to you. How many of us would say that? God, I want you to turn away that reproach because I know your judgments are good. I know your judgments are right. I know your judgments will always be honest and fair. And if I spend my life coveting and worrying about things I don't need and that you do not intend for me and things I want and I'm not satisfied and I'm not content, I'm going to begin to behold vain things. And as I begin to hold vain things, I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to do. And then in the end, you see here, he says, then comes the reproach. Then comes that when I'm doing what I'm not supposed to do, I'm going to bring reproach to your name, and I'm going to be sorrowful for it because I know I'm going to bring reproach to your name because I know you're going to punish me when I do something wrong because you're God and you always do what's just and right. And then he says in verse number 40, behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Now he's saying here, he says, God, I want to fear you in verse 39. I'm devoted to you in verse 38. And this is a man after God's own heart. This is a man who loves the Lord. This is a man that God has used in many ways. And he says, my desire is for you. My desire is for your word. Lord, I want you to teach me. I want you to do all these things. And that's what he's saying. He says, I'm longing for this. But look what he says, I want you to make alive in my life. Or I want you to quicken in my life. He said, thy righteousness. I don't care about being made alive to the rest of the world or finding what I think is that next best thing. He says, I'm interested in doing what's right. Not just what I think is right, but what is your righteousness. So that's kind of an overview of 33 through 40. Let's go ahead and jump in here at verses 33 and 34 is where I think we're going to stay at for the rest of the time. Verse 33, it says, teach me, O Lord. And one of the things I think we come across and we find is there are people out there today that are not teachable. People out there today that don't want to learn. And people out there that just want to do things their own way. David knows something. He says, I don't know it all. You ever met somebody who knew it all? I've met people who thought they knew it all. And they, no matter what you said, they weren't going to change. Now, don't get me wrong. If God has shown you something in the light, and you know there's truth in the Word of God, and He's established that in your heart, I'm not saying you have to change that. That's not what David's asking for. He's saying, I want you to teach me, O Lord, and I need you to teach me because I do not know it all. So who are the type of people that God teaches? He teaches people that are humble. And the question is, do you have a teachable spirit? Now, David has, as if this is David, and if he's king at this point in time, David would have around him wise men. He would have priests around him. He would have prophets around him. He would have plenty of people that are the smart people in the world. But David says, hey, I can learn from all of them, but they're not the ones I want to teach. He says, God, I want you to teach me. And there has to be people in our lives that are pastors and leaders and people that are teaching us certain things. But David is saying here, the psalmist is saying, Lord, I need you to teach me. I want you to understand. And why is that? It's because God's the best teacher. Think about what it says in Job 36, 22. Behold, God exalteth by his power. Who teacheth like him? Listen to that verse again. Behold, God exalteth by his power. Who teacheth like him? So what do you mean? Well, God can teach us in ways that we never, ever thought. I mean, he's the one that can bring tragedy or turn tragedy to light. He's the one that can teach those Egyptians that are in the chariot. There is a one true God when the water's coming over at the Red Sea at them. We couldn't teach like that. God has the most amazing object lessons. And when those walls came down at Jericho, and then when you just view creation, it shows us the glory of God, and it shows us the heavens declare the glory of God. No one can teach like God can, because he knows exactly what we need. He can look inside our heart and see the parts that we are struggling with. He can show us the parts that we can work on. No one else knows those things. We can guess. But that's why David's saying, and I think this is a wonderful prayer. This is why we're stuck here tonight, is if we would have a teachable spirit, is it like a childlike thing? Will you teach me this? And it's sort of like when the disciples saw Jesus praying. I think it's Luke chapter number 11. He goes to him and says, teach us to pray. We don't know how to do this. Teach me to pray. I was visiting this afternoon and was out seeing somebody. And usually when I get visiting, I have a word of prayer with the people. And I ask if there's any special prayer requests. And one of the people that are there, they were with a very humble spirit. It was, I need to know what to do. I want God to show me. I want God to teach me. I need to know the answer here. And I think that's our request each day. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, God. I don't know what to do for the rest of this day. I don't know what to do with my family. I don't know what to do with my job. I don't know what to do with my finances. I don't know what to do in this world. I don't know what to do with the situation. God, I need you to teach me. And then he goes, the way of thy statutes. Now, some people will be, Lord, can you teach me how to make $1 million? Can you teach me how to get my wife straight? Or teach me how to get my husband straight? Can you teach me how to get rid of the preacher? No. He says, this is what I'm interested in. He says, I'm interested in the way of thy statutes, the path that you're headed towards. If you're a teachable person, that means you're going to be a humble person. It means you're going to want to follow his path. I guess there's some great verses in the Bible about being teachable. First one is, who does God teach? It says in 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject unto one unto another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. The person that God is going to teach is a person who's ready to learn, who's humble. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of us are hard and stiff-necked, and they're like Pharaoh, and they're not going to learn it until they're getting drowned in the Red Sea. But they learn it someday. There's a humbleness. They says that God was fighting against them. They were trying to flee. They finally understood it. They understood too late. But what the psalmist is saying here, I want you to teach me, and the only way that we're going to be taught by the Lord is when we come to the spot and we say, Lord, I don't know what to do. That's pride saying, God, I need you to teach me. That's when he says he gives grace. Think about what a Bible verse says about those that are not teachable. Actually, why don't you take your Bible to Proverbs 13. And it's just the next book over, and a few of these verses in Proverbs anyways. Proverbs 13, and there's great verses here in verse number 18. So Proverbs 13, 18, things don't look good for those that are not teachable. Proverbs 13, 18, the Bible says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. So the person who does not want to learn, what's their end? What are they looking forward to? What is headed? And it is saying, poverty and shame shall be him that refuses instruction. For a person that is not teachable is a person that is not going to end up well. And I've been there before in my life. There's things I've struggled with, and I was hard-headed, and I kept on returning to. And it brought shame, and it brought things that I had lost, things that I could have had, and I wish I never had done. And, you know, what happens is when we will learn when God's speaking to our heart, those are the people that will be honored. He that regardeth reproof. That means when God corrects him, when God's trying to teach him something, we have a humble spirit. Lord, teach me. I need to know these things, God. Please help me. That's the person that's honored. That's the person God blesses. That's why David's saying, I want you to teach me, O Lord. I am tired of looking foolish. I am tired of losing things that are valuable in my life. I am tired of all these things, God. I am going to listen to your reproof. I'm going to listen to your correction. Turn your Bibles now to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 1. Probably at the same page, maybe go back one. It says, whosoever loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. You ever try to correct somebody that didn't want to hear it? They're looking the other way. They have no interest. They just want to go. And sometimes when you deal with kids, you're like, you're not even looking at me. And it's saying here that the person who loves instruction, the person who is gonna get knowledge, is a person who's willing to listen. But the opposite is a person who hates reproof, who does not like to be corrected. Reminds me of a person who's prideful. Oh, no, they always have an answer for everything. They're bullish. They push their way. Sometimes they do it with brute strength, and sometimes they do it with their words. And I want to help you understand that God is looking for someone who's teachable. And that's what he's saying here. He says, if you love instruction, you're going to love knowledge because you're going to get it. Go to chapter 9 now. Look at verse number 9. And this is a good test. Sometimes when I correct somebody, and especially if it's a young person that seems like they're not getting it or they don't want to understand it, we take them to a verse like this. 9:9, Proverbs 9:9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So what does that mean? It means that if you give instruction, how are you taking the instruction that's being given? Is it making you wiser? Is it something that you're increasing in learning? Or is it something that you still need to be reproved? Or is it still like the one that's talking about in 13:18, that poverty and shame should be to him that refuses instruction? David, the psalmist, is saying, Lord, I need you to teach me. I don't want to be stubborn. I don't want to be prideful. Lord, teach me the way of thy statutes. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable for what? It's profitable for doctrine, which tells us truth. Reproof tells us how to get things right. For correction, I'm sorry, reproof is that where we're wrong at. Correction, things that we need to get right. For instruction in righteousness, how to keep things right. It's an ever-learning process in our lives. And the psalmist appreciated that. And he went before God and said, Lord, teach me. He's not asking anybody else. He's saying, God, I'm coming to you with a humble spirit. I do not know it all. I understand I don't know it all. And God, I want you to teach me. Go ahead and go back to Psalms 119. And we're still in verse number 33. He says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. And then he says, I will keep them to the end. Second thing I want you to think, and he says, you think about the way of his statutes, he's talking about the path. Sometimes people don't know where to go, and because of that, they're struggling. I don't know which way to go. And I think sometimes it's a step of faith. Sometimes we know which way we're supposed to head it, we just don't want that way, and we don't choose to take that step of faith. In Proverbs chapter 3, there's a promise that's found there in verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord of all thine heart and lean not into thy own understandings, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There is a promise there. If you do this, 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 and this, I'm going to direct your paths. But the only way we do that is when we humble ourselves and says, teach me, O Lord. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, the Bible says, and thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. And it's amazing that how God is able and willing to establish your steps and send you in the right direction as you trust in him with all your heart. When you don't lean into your own understandings, you're not prideful, you come like David and say, teach me, O Lord. And all my ways I'm going to acknowledge him. Then he says, I'm going to direct your paths. James 1:5 even says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. It's taking a step of faith. Once you understand the whole situation, you've put it all on God and ask God to teach you, then you take that next step. And if something happens wrong, you blame it on God. He said, God's the one that taught me these things. And that's why David's saying here, teach me, O Lord. Verse 34, we come back to this interesting, and he wants to know David. He wants to know God's way in verse 33. He, all throughout this passage, he's saying, I need to know, I need to understand. We come back to that word understanding. Verse 34, give me understanding. And as we spent time in verse 27, I'd like to just spend a little bit longer because this word has been on my heart a lot lately, is that's what we need to ask for. We need to ask for understanding. There is something by believing. We walk by faith, not by sight. But when you can get to the heart of God and understand who God is, then you're going to be able to follow him with your whole heart. So many times I've seen people in churches like ours follow rules and follow guidelines, and they wear it like a pin on their lapel, and they're super excited about it because that's what they're proud of and that's what they know, but they don't understand why God has a desire for that. And that's when David is saying, give me understanding. If we would learn to know and have a knowledge of God, that he wants mercy, he wants to give mercy. As we looked at this past week and on Sunday morning, there was that verse that talked about, you don't know what you're talking about. You know that I will have mercy and not sacrifice. The Pharisees were thinking, boy, God's got to be pleased with me. God's got to be happy with me because we do all these sacrifices and we give all this tithe and we do all these things. We memorize all these verses. And he says, no. I'll have mercy unto whoever I will. I will have mercy and not sacrifices. It's like when those disciples are talking about that group of Samaritans that told Jesus not to come. And I think they said, hey, should we call fire down from heaven? And they're starting. And he says, you know not of what spirit you're of. It's so many times people are trying to serve God and what they think God is. They put God inside of a box and say, this is what God wants and this is what God expects and this is how, when we should be asking God, teach me your ways. We should be praying, give me understanding. If God is asking me to love my wife as Christ loved the church, help me understand why. If God's asking me to submit to my husband, then help me to see the heart of God when it comes to that. When it comes to issues like what I shouldn't watch and what I should watch, let me understand God's heart and let God lead and direct my path instead of what works for me. And because what works for me changes at times. Go ahead and take your Bible to Jeremiah chapter number 9. We might come back to Psalms 119, but Jeremiah chapter number 9. It's a great verse that's here, a couple verses, and I remember the first time I was reading through it and was reading my Bible on purpose to learn and kind of just jumped off the page. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. And I think these are all three very strong things. You got riches, you got might, and you have wisdom. Inside all three of those things are many times what we think we know what's best or what we think we can accomplish or the how much we have. But then he says in verse 24, but let him that glory in anything. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. He says, the best thing you can have in this whole world is to understand and know God. That's what didn't Paul say, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection? Did Paul know who the scriptures? He did. Did he probably have the Pentateuch memorized? He probably did, as a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He probably knew the law frontwards and backwards. And he's saying that I may know him. It was a goal to understand it, and we see who God is and we understand who God is and we have a longing. You say that word longing. Isn't that kind of pushing it? Well, that's what it says back in verse number 40. There's a longing. There's a desire. I want to know God. I want to understand God. God, teach me your ways. Lord, teach me. But I wonder how many of us really desire that. And then keep on going in the verse 24, but let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. And then look at the ways, the things that God says is important here. That I am the Lord. That's the first important thing. You put a position that he's God, he's Lord, he's Jehovah there, and he is ruler of all. But then which exercise loving kindness, judgment and righteousness. and the earth. So these are things that I want you to know about me. This is my heart here for you. So many times, and the Pharisees are a good way and a good example of how to figure it out. And you see how much they messed up. Remember how they brought that lame man with the messed up hand, not lame man, but his hand was messed up, and they brought him in there, and they're watching Jesus to see whether or not he's going to heal him, to see what Jesus was going to do. They could care less about what God's heart was about that man. They could use a pawn to try to prove a point and show a point and kind of dig something in there. And that is not truly trying to understand God and understand God's way. What is the principle? What is the purpose? What is God trying to teach us here in this word? What is God trying to teach us here in this way and show us and direct us? What is it that God wants me to learn? And it's teach me, O Lord. And he comes to the point, he says, that he understandeth and knoweth me. And then he says, exercise loving kindness. That wouldn't be what many of us would consider, because we don't show that loving kindness to people as they walk in sometimes. We want to make people feel welcome. We want to have people see Christ in us, see God in us. And he says, look, that I'm one that exercises loving kindness. Then he goes to judgment, and then he goes to righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. We think he delights in sacrifices. He says, no, I will have mercy, not sacrifices. And now, does he appreciate sacrifices? He does. When you get God's heart and you see God's heart and you love him so much that you're willing to give yourself completely and totally to him and say, God, this is not my life, this is your life. I'm willing to be a living sacrifice, and anything that I have is yours, whatever you want, God. But you're never going to get there until you're willing to say, teach me thy ways. Teach me, O Lord. And that Ephesians 5:17 puts it this way. It says, wherefore be not unwise, for understanding the will of the Lord is, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So when I come to this verse, and I come to these verses when Psalms 19, and he's talking about how much he loves God, how much he loves his word, and then he's not just asking him, tell me, God, what your word is. I need it. He's asking him, can you explain it to me? Because I want to teach that to somebody else. I know what's best. I know this is how I'm supposed to live. I know that this is right. I just don't understand it all. But Lord, if you would just teach me your ways. And that's what he says here. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Teach me the point that you're trying to get at. I'm going to obey because I'm supposed to obey. And I'm not going to question because I want to be a good servant. But Lord, if you could teach me your way so I can teach that to the next generation, this is why it's important. And Lord, if you would reveal things unto me so I can spend time with you and you teach me truths and you teach me things so that way I can share that with somebody else, understanding the will of the God, what the will of the Lord is. I wonder if we could understand what the will of the Lord is when it comes to our marriages, when it comes to the world out there. He tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, but many of us don't even share our faith, and we don't have God's heart. If we could get God's heart when he tells us to, children, obey your parents, okay, we don't mind that. We understand that because we think we know what's best. But then tells fathers, you know, to raise them up, but not to cause them to be frustrated at times. And there, if we would look, be just not at the words and understand, we seek for the understanding of the words, then we're going to be willing in verse 34, as it says, I shall serve it with my whole heart. Because I think sometimes we keep certain guidelines, and once again, there are certain things we're not going to know until we get to heaven. I know that. I'm not perfect. I don't know every single thing in that book and say I can explain everything in that book, but I can promise you I'm never going to learn anything else in that book until I say, God, teach me. Lord, teach me. And to let them have a humble spirit. And so when I'm looking at this, I've gotten past the fact that I just don't want to follow some guidelines part of the way. I want to find out what the Bible says, what it believes, and believe it with my whole heart and understand it. Once again, that is a lifetime of a journey. But we're never going to find any of it until we start, teach me, like it says, teach me, O Lord. until we start searching for it and looking for it and asking him. Probably two of the greatest Bible characters, or two that was known for having a heart for God, David would have been one of those, a man after God's own heart. You see him saying here, I need you to teach me, and I want you to give me understanding. You go fast forward to the New Testament, one of the most well-respected characters in the New Testament is Paul, and he's saying that I may know him. He's saying, I'm reaching forth to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is that? We're never going to know until we want to understand what God wants for us. What is the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? It is his will for your life. And if it is to go to Africa, that's great. If it's to be the right type of husband or wife here in Elizabeth City, then that's great too. Whatever your high prize is, that's his will. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. And how many times do we have young people that are honestly seeking after God and say, I just don't know what God's will is. And we tell them, the things you know you're supposed to do, do those. And that's good. That's following. But then begin to ask God to reveal the rest to you. Seek him. Search him. And if David is saying here, teach me, O Lord, if David's saying, give me understanding, and Paul is saying that I may know him, and Paul's saying I haven't apprehended, they're both saying we have not gotten there and we want to know more, because the more I know about him, the greater love I have for him, the more I want to know about him. You won't be disappointed as you learn his word and realize that he is the Lord. Don't glory in your wisdom. Don't glory in your might. Don't glory in your riches. He says, if you're going to glory in anything, glory in this, that you know and understand me. So I don't know that God's been helping me with that, and I want to understand why he says, forgive one another. Why he would say, love one another. And if the heart for God is for me to love somebody else, I want to understand why I should love them, how to love them, because I want to love them the way that God loves them. I'm never going to learn that until I'm willing to be humble and say, maybe the way I'm loving them right now is not the way God wants me to love them. Maybe the way I'm acting right now is not the way that God wants me to act. I've been doing it for years. Really hasn't produced much fruit, but I think it's right. I know it's right. No, no, no. Teach me, O Lord. Have a tender heart to what he's trying to teach us. I keep on reading this in Psalms 119, and it's all about incline my heart. Turn my eyes away from other things. Turn my eyes away from beholding the vanity. Your word is right. Establish it in my heart. I am longing for thy precepts. It's a guy who has a tender heart and says, I need you, God. Help me to understand what you're trying to teach. Tonight, I pray that God gives us a desire not to just know the word, but to try to understand what God's trying. Let God teach our hearts what he's trying to teach us in his word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. We have raised so many generations of people without teaching them that is a pursuit of, there's a pursuit of God, that we should pursue after him, that we should have a hunger and a thirst to knowledge of knowing the Holy One. Even though we know that we will never, ever come into that full, complete understanding, but the greatest thing we can do with our life is understand the will of the Lord. And Lord, we all want to give out advice, but how many of us meet with you daily, seeking and saying, teach me, O Lord. Help me understand what you're trying to teach here. Help me to learn your word. Help me to know what it means in this area of my life. I don't always understand everything, God, but there's a purpose and there's a truth that I'm longing for, as it says in your word. Lord, the thing that I'm a little bit concerned about in my life and the people's eyes that I see, at least in some, are they truly longing for your word? They really want to know you, or have they become covetous? Have they been beholden vanities for so long that they are a reproach? God, establish your word in our hearts. Give us a longing Lord, to want to know you even better. Thank you for how much you've revealed yourself to us through your word, through your Holy Spirit. When Jesus came to this world, we learned so much, but there's so much more that we can learn. In Jesus' name, amen.